Carolyn will come and share our scripture reading with us.
From the Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
So as we were just discussing, it is Thanksgiving week, our one American civil religion holiday. The nice thing about that, I think, is that everyone can agree on it. And of course, it's really not about the turkey and the cranberry sauce and the pearled onions and all those things, although those make it special in very tangible ways. It's definitely not about the Black Friday sales that keep trying to impinge upon it. It's a simple holiday, really. Get together, eat some good food, and be thankful. Thanksgiving is that one day in the year in American culture that tells us to stop and just be thankful. I read a story this week about an elderly Black woman named Anna. She lived some time ago. She had been a slave as a child, was emancipated, and ended up spending most of her adult life working for one family, helping cook and clean and raise their kids. One of those children grew up to be a preacher, and he later talked about Anna, because Anna influenced his life in a powerful way. He said every morning at breakfast, she would fold her hands over her plate of food and her cup of coffee, and she would say, "Much obliged for the victuals, God." As a child, he said, "Anna, what are victuals?" And she said, "You know, the food and the drink." And he said, "Well, you already got them. Why are you having to talk to God about them? I mean, you're going to have them whether you say thank you or not." Somehow this sounds to me like the 11, 12-year-old stage of childhood when they start questioning everything. And she said, "Yes, that's true. It's here, but it tastes better if I remember to be thankful for it." She said when she was young, still a slave, there was a preacher who encouraged them to look for something to be grateful for as soon as they woke up every morning. And she made that a habit the rest of her life. As soon as she opened her eyes, she said, she would think, "What can I be grateful for right now? Sunshine, the smell of coffee, the warmth of her bed." Every day she started out saying, "Much obliged to God." That's the attitude, the practice that Paul is urging on his readers here in this passage from Philippians. It helps us to read the depth of what Paul is saying, to catch it, if we remember that Paul is writing this from prison in Rome. He's waiting for his trial before the emperor, knowing that he may well be condemned to die. But this letter to the Philippians is full of joy and encouragement. The stewardship team chose grace as the word for this Sunday. I think grace is what we experience when we realize that all that is given to us, all the things that bless our lives unconditionally, not what we've earned, but what is just here for us, the fundamentals of life, all the ways our bodies work that we never even have to think about, our breath, our heart beating, all those systems going on inside of us and all around us that allow us to be here alive today. And there is so much grace in all the relationships of family and friends and church community and other friends and neighbors that nurture us and support us and help us live and grow and be who we are. We live and move and have our being in the grace of God, the grace of all who love us, the grace of the goodness of this earth and all the living things that make the great luminous web of life of which we are a part. We are all interdependent, intimately connected. We are all animated, made alive, held by the grace of God. I love that line in Psalm 100 that was in our call to worship. It is God who made us. We did not make ourselves. On your bulletin cover, you see a quote from Karl Barth. Grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Gratitude evokes grace like the voice and the echo. Gratitude follows grace as thunder follows lightning. I think that's what Anna understood. That's the habit, the practice she lived her life out of. And Paul in this passage is also writing about attitude and practices, even though he was in prison, even though his life was in the hands of the emperor. Still, he says, he knew joy, he knew peace, and he wanted the community of believers that he knew and loved in Philippi to know that joy and peace too. Even though they were worried about him, even though being a follower of Jesus was not an easy thing to do in that time. Rejoice in the Lord, he said. Rejoice. The Lord is near. I think I've always read that the Lord is near like Jesus is coming back. I really don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying the Lord is near, like close to you, present with you, in the midst of whatever is going on. Paul knew the love and grace of God revealed to him through the risen Christ, the one who met him on that road to Damascus. Paul loved and served that Christ, knowing that that Christ had himself been tried and executed on the cross, and yet by the power of God had risen and was alive in the world, alive in Paul's life. Paul's joy was based in the larger, deeper perspective he knew in Christ Jesus. The might of Rome could not defeat him. The powers of evil and death did not have the final say. God was in Christ reconciling the world to God's self, Paul wrote. God was in Christ revealing the love of God, the grace of God. In the church year, this is the last Sunday of the year. Christ the King, the reign of God, of Christ Sunday. The confession of the church through the centuries has been, Jesus is Lord. Not in might, but in humility. Not by force, but by love. As Paul writes in Philippians a couple chapters earlier, Christ emptied himself. Although he was equal with God, he emptied himself, in Paul's language, taking on human form, being obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And because of that, God has exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the Lord Paul urges us to look to. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. Center your lives in the God of love and grace shown to us in Jesus Christ. Find the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of Christ that can guard your hearts and minds. Guard, I love that language. guard your hearts and minds. No matter what's happening to us, no matter what's going on in the world around us, the peace of Christ can keep us. Paul is not saying we will not have worries. He's not fussing at us for worrying. He's saying what to do with our worries. Turn them over to God. I was talking with some of you just the other day about how we give something to God that we're worried about, and then we take it back. And we give it again, and we take it back. I think that's why Paul says we have to pray all the time. But it's a constant thing of having to keep turning back over to God what we keep trying to take back and think we somehow should manage ourselves. Centering prayer, other forms of prayer, are the prayer of surrender, the Jesus prayer. They're all ways of saying, thy will be done. Not my will, but your will. You take it, God. I want to think I'm in control, but I'm not. How little we control in our lives. And yet, we can trust in God and know the grace of God, the peace of God, the joy that is deeper than all our griefs and sorrows and challenges. Paul is showing us the way to that joy, that peace. He says, set your minds on what is good, on what is pure. Focus on those things. My God, if there was ever a time in my life when there was a lot of temptations, every time I look at the news, every time I turn on the TV, to not think about what is good and pure, right? There's so much around us that clamors that might make us worry and fear. Rejoice in the Lord. Set your minds on what is good, and the God of peace will keep your hearts and minds. That is the grace of God, the tender mercy of God. And that grace, as Bart says, leads us back to Thanksgiving. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going up to Rochester to be part of the 150th anniversary celebration of Lake Avenue Baptist Church, where I was associate pastor for 13 years before coming here. They chose to do their 150th at this Thanksgiving season because they're thankful, of course, but also because over the last 15 years or so, there have been so many refugees who've come from Myanmar, from Burma, who have helped shape that congregation. And as I think I've said to some of you before, one of the things that they taught us there was Thanksgiving's not a one-day-a-year event. Burmese, Karen, Chin, Karini, Kachin people from Burma have Thanksgivings all the time. When there's a birthday, they don't just say we're having a birthday party, they say we're having a Thanksgiving. And they have a worship service, and then they have the food. When someone celebrates that they finally got their citizenship, or when someone's been in the hospital and has finally been healed, or when a child graduates from school, or whatever, it's always a Thanksgiving, and it's always about worshiping and praising and thanking God, and then the food. It's not just a party, it's a Thanksgiving. And so yesterday at Lake Avenue Baptist Church, they had a Thanksgiving service. And members of not just the current Lake Avenue Church, but also of what is now the Rochester Karen Baptist Church and the Rochester Chin Baptist Church and the Rochester Kachin Baptist Church and the Myanmar Christian Fellowship, all of which have grown out of what's happened there in the last 15 or 20 years, were all a part of that service. And I felt this, the grace of God, the goodness of God, and I was reminded of all the churches that have blessed my life, all the churches. And so I close by saying that our final hymn is from another church that blessed my life. Our final hymn comes from Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, where I went when I was in seminary. It's now part of AWEB, Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. It was a seminary church, and then the fundamentalists took over the seminary. So it's gone through a lot of change and transition. But this is a powerful hymn about thanksgiving, about trusting in the grace of God. And the image, the metaphor, is that the church is like a ship sailing through unknown seas, days of calm, days of conflict. We never know what tomorrow will bring, but we can trust the grace of God. We can live in joy and know God's great peace as we move forward together as the people of God, First Baptist Church in Ithaca.